Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Father, we just thank you as we come in into this time of being under your word. We pray for the instruction of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that you would just bring life and light to every one of us this morning, that, Lord, you'll take us deeper and further as you're guiding us and you're building your church in and through us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when Jesus was on earth and he was walking with his disciples, He was trying to not only fulfill what God's plan was for his life, but also what he was doing, he was trying to introduce the kingdom of God. And we see scattered through the scriptures where the Lord is teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. And I really do believe today, as I want to share on this topic as we continue in partnering with the Holy Spirit to be fruitful. And I really believe it's a secret. I believe as we live in this world, Jesus hasn't taken us out of this world and taken us to be with him forever, but he's left us here with a purpose. And that purpose, yes, is a divine purpose that he has for every one of our lives. But I really believe, as this discourse that he had with his disciples in John chapter 15, that I'm the vine and you are the branches. And that discourse was something that we have to embrace, every one of us, to go forward and to see the life of Christ in us to be exhibited through us. So the text for this message this morning is from John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And incredible is that as God calls us out of the world and he brings us into his kingdom, he chose us. And every one of you, God knew you before you were born into your mother's womb. But even as you were born into this earth, he chose you, every single one of you. And I think that's absolutely incredible, is that God, in his love for mankind, not only that he went to die on the cross, but he comes back and he comes back to work intimately with us individually. He chooses us. And then he appoints us to go and bear good fruit. Now, I don't know if you remember I remember in the workplace is that you're working in the workplace and all of a sudden that you find that there's opportunities in the workplace that you can develop yourself, and they approach you and then they interview you and then you get appointed into that role. And then you think, wow, this is a wonderful thing. And sometimes in the world, the recognition comes with a title. And now all of a sudden, you've got this title. But that's not good enough. You've got to go and produce the goods. And it's the same with God. He brings us into his kingdom. He declares us that we are his children, that we are the sons and daughters of God. He chooses us. He appoints us. And then he says, I've placed you in my kingdom. Now I want you to be fruitful. And it's so often in the workplace when you're leading people, and even in the kingdom, when people aren't fruitful, there's disappointment. You're not pleasing. And to our God, God wants us to be fruitful. I really believe that God has intended for all of us. In the book of Genesis, it tells us right in the beginning, in Genesis 1, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, I believe that was God's intention right from the beginning. It was reinforced through Jesus. It was reinforced through the teachings of Paul. But to be fruitful. And I really believe fruitfulness is one of the key aspects of the outworking of the kingdom of God in every one of our lives. So often we look for qualifications in the kingdom. But I'm telling you now, for every believer, as Christ has come in to live inside of them, there's a fruitfulness that is available to every one of us. Now today in our gardens, we don't plant fruit trees anymore. Have you noticed that? You know, in the olden days, I remember everyone, there was the apple and there was the peach and all the trees there. And there was the home craft. Do you remember where we used to make jams and we used to bottle the fruit? Do you remember all that? I don't know what's happened to the world. It's got, you go to the shop and you want to go and buy it and it must be ready for you. But I think we're going back. I think we're going back, and I think people are starting to plant vegetable gardens again, and we're starting to plant fruit trees again, and the joy of that. But I remember where we used to live in Germiston. My folks had planted some fruit trees, and there was this peach tree called the Early Dawn. I don't know if you've ever eaten the Early Dawn. Early Dawn is, it comes out, one of the first peaches that comes out, and it's a big fleshy peach. And we used to nurture this tree. It was in the bottom of the garden, and we used to prune it. And then we would see at springtime that the blossoms would come out, and then the leaves would come out, and then they'd be pollinated by the bees and that. And then the stone fruit would come out, and eventually we have these beautiful peaches. And I remember taking these peaches off the tree and eat them, and the juice used to just come all over my face. Now, you go to Food Lover's Market and you buy the peach, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You know, we traveled in America a few years ago, and Nikki's family were apple farmers, and we went to go and see them to harvesting the apples. And then they would take it to the co-op, and in the co-op, and they would deliver all these apples. And I was astounded that the apples that were delivered were put into cold storage. And it took a year before those apples went to market. They were kept in storage. But if you go to the tree and take the apple off the tree and you cut the apple, the juice just pours out. And if it stays in storage, it's like this dry, flowery apple that comes out. But God wants us to be fruitful. And I just believe that juiciness, it's appealing to the world. It's appealing to every one of us, this fruitfulness that God wants for us. But then he said also multiply and increase. And the world has done well at that. We have multiplied, we've subdued, we've destroyed the earth. And we've got to bring it back to a place of being able to be fruitful. And that's a role that we still have on the earth today. So, but I want to just say, as the church, God wants us to be fruitful. And I read from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. And again, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he goes to the cross, and he's leaving them some nuggets of what he's intended for them to do. He doesn't leave you without instruction, and he's instructing us even today. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you know, with a fruit tree, the wood goes dead, and it grows in the wrong place. And the gardener comes and you prune it and you cut it away and you throw those things into the fire. But Jesus says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. We don't hear those words often anymore. And I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this wonderful picture of Jesus comes and he gives us the picture that was relevant in that time was the vineyards, the vine. He says that I'm the vine, you're the branches. The Father comes and he prunes that vine and it blossoms and it grows into these wonderful bunches of grapes. And I remember that we also had a grapevine in our home, and it would be in the corner of the garden, and we used to prune it, and it was always the, when spring comes, the vine is always the one that tells spring has come. Others come before, but when the vine comes out, it's springtime, and we used to have wonderful grapes that grew there. But remember, the grapes come in bunches, and it was such an enjoyable thing. But what Jesus was saying, yeah, we cannot produce this fruit. We've got to be abiding in him. And that's the message that we have, this DNA of God within us. this fruit bearing of who he is, he wants to bear that fruit in and through us. I don't think it's a difficult thing. I believe it's something that we got some techniques to learn, but God wants us to bear much fruit. And so often we see in Matthew chapter 7 is that we want to bear fruit of the gifts, and that's important. That's not to decry that, to see devils cast out and miracles and that. But for every believer, for every Christian, we need to be producing the fruit of Christ. And I want to just say, you have that outworking, that incorruptible seed, that DNA within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory is within you, and you can bear his fruit. John chapter 15, verse 8, this is, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So you see, the Father, when we want to, our purpose on life also is to follow Christ, but it's also to bring glory to our Father. And it's Jesus intimates here and says, when you bear fruit, his fruit, you bring glory to the Father. And that's very, very important, because I'm getting ahead of myself, but I believe one day we're going to stand at the judgment before our God, and the judgment is not because of sin. You have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed upon him, his blood. He has paid the price for your sin. He has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. You're a child of God. But he is going to judge us for our fruitfulness, because he's commanding us to be that. And he's going to say, have you been fruitful? And every one of us has a sphere of influence to be fruitful, and he wants to use us in that wonderful way. You see, John the Baptist knew something, some secret about this. He said that I must become less and he must become more. And that's what we've got to learn in our lives, is that we've got to realize this rich deposit of Christ that's been placed within us, that he becomes more, that his life and that his fruitfulness starts to bear through us. And as that begins to happen, God is glorified, and we actually accumulate a reward in heaven. So by being fruitful, how do we do this? In Colossians 2 verse 6, it says, now that just as you've accepted Christ as your Lord, very important, you've got to have Christ as your, you must continue to follow him. So it's in the outworking of following him, as we live in this vital, intimate, personal relationship with our Lord as the Good Shepherd, as our Lord and Savior. As we follow him, we start to bear this wonderful fruit. And then Paul gets this incredible revelation in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So there's an imitation of, as you represent Christ, you become a representative. The Bible says that you become an ambassador of Christ. As you carry this incredible treasure of God himself within you, as he begins to exhibit himself through and in you, you imitate him, and the people start to see the wonder of who he is. As much as we had in our garden, we had those fruit trees, and we saw the fruit, the world sees the fruit, and so does God. So does God. He comes to examine us. Quentin even brought that scripture. He examines us, and he sees, are we fruit-bearing? And that is an incredible gift that we all have to do. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 21, they were asking, where is the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, no, the kingdom of God is within you. And that's an incredible thing, is you've got to get your mind around. We know we've got to renew our minds. When we get to understand this outworking of productivity of the kingdom flows from within us. It's not something that we manufacture. And I want to just say that's very important, is that we are taught by the world to manufacture with our hands. We produce and we love to make things happen. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's a releasing. Hear what I'm saying? There's a releasing of what's within you. Yes, as we speak the word of God, it goes forward. And the same thing is that from within you comes these rivers of living water. And same as Jesus says, this kingdom is within you. And you've received this kingdom. And there's that other wonderful scripture in Colossians 1:27, this great mystery of who God is, the riches of his glory, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's not good enough just to know that the kingdom of God is within you. This is ability to work with the Holy Spirit to release what's within you. That's the big secret, because you've received it. You don't have to manufacture it. It's there. God has given it to us in every single way. We've got to work with the Lord how to release it, and that's the greatest skill to be fruitful. How are we going to become fruitful to do this? Now, Paul comes and he marries, John chapter 15, what Jesus is saying about being fruitful to what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of the fruit of God himself. Galatians 5 verse 22 to 25, you know this very well, but I'll read it to you again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So when the Bible talks a lot of the times about the Spirit, he's talking about God himself too. So this is the fruit of who God is, Christ in you, by the Holy Spirit to the Father's glory. So we've got to get to the place of understanding. We have a responsibility to understand what Jesus is saying and to renew our minds. God has completed the work in us, but as we renew our minds and we work this thing out, we allow the outworking to come through in us. So by example, how do you react or how do you respond when someone has hurt you or offended you? I want to just say that every one of us, as the Bible says here in Galatians 5 verse 24, we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. But the flesh is the outworking of not your old nature, but was resident in your body that you were trained in, the unrenewed mind, that you don't have an understanding of God's ways. So what do? You do what the earthly nature did. So what do we do when someone hurts us and rejects us? I'm going to get even. You call them names, you might even criticize them, you might slander them, you might curse them, and you even believe as a Christian that they will stumble. But no, that's not God's way. We have to put the flesh down, and we got to do it God's way. And I really believe these are opportunities for God to reveal himself in us. So what do we got to do? I really believe we've got to take this an opportunity, and every one of us, you might even face it today, but every one of us face these opportunities in Christ to do. So firstly, I want to say is that we need to learn to forgive in those situations, especially when there's been offense or someone's come against you and spoken an ugly word or rejected you. We need to forgive. Then we've got to respond that how would Christ do it through us? And there was that lovely acronym, what would Jesus do? But now understanding this, Christ, Lord, how can I love them? The fruit that's got to come out. How can I be kind and how can I be generous? How can I pray for them to be blessed? And you see, there's a change that's got to take place. There's a change of thinking. And you know, the word repentance so often is thinking about sin, but it's more than that. It's changing to bring the kingdom of God to life. And if we change our thinking and we start to do it God's way, then we start to see this fruit bearing take place. So every opportunity of something like that is something to express the kingdom of God. So I had an incident the other day, and someone misunderstood what I was saying to them, and it's no one in my family or no one in this church, but they reacted in the flesh to me. Oh, and initially I reacted in the flesh to them. I thought, this is an opportunity, I'm going to get even. I'm going to use my words, and I can put these words together, and I'm going to get this thing straight. And I thought, no, Lord, I need to learn your ways. How am I going to process this thing? And over the years, the Lord has got me to a place when circumstances like that take place, give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, Lord, I'm going to thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, I want to get even, but your ways are your ways. And I waited upon the Lord. And I'm learning not to react, but to respond and to wait upon the Lord. And then I just, okay, Lord, I'm going to hand this thing over to you and just teach me how to respond in this thing. And the Lord taught me, be humble in the thing, forgive, and I forgave in my heart. And okay, Lord, show me what to do. And the Lord just said, be kind and be loving in this process. And I responded in that, and I responded in the situation, and I was started to be, okay, I'm going to ask the Lord for your blessing upon this individual. I'm going to bring understanding to the thing, and I'm going to be in a place of humility. I'm actually going to say, I'm sorry. Even though, in a sense, I was right, I'm sorry. And I responded in that heart, and I was kind in that situation. And I want to just tell you, when the thing outworked, it was a wonderful response. I just saw my response to that situation didn't land it up in a very aggressive situation that became a bun fight. It actually came to a place where there was rejoicing. There was peace. There was joy. And there was an outworking majority of these fruits of the Spirit of God. Now, I could have gone and done it the world's way. And I'm not immune to the things of the world like you. I have to also learn to respond God's way. And I want to just say to you today, we all face tests and trials, especially when it comes to relationships. And this fruit bearing that God wants us to outwork is a key aspect to every one of our lives. And I want to just say the fruit of the Spirit, this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, there's no law against these things. No one's stopping you to do these things. You can exhibit those things in and through your life. And I really believe God wants to grow us. And I want to challenge you, be fruitful. Grow in this fruit bearing. Allow the Holy Spirit to bear more and more. And it said it'll last, this fruit bearing. And you know, it's like, it says it'll be everlasting, will last forever. And you know, we've been down to the Cape, and I don't know if you've been down to Hermanus. There's a thing called the Fern Cliff, and you walk through that area of flowers. And there's, I think, in 2.5 square kilometers, there's 1,500 species of flower. We are so rich in the thing. I'll tell you a funny story. Many years ago, I was in Holland, and I went to Kirkenhof, where they got all the tulips. So I went to this guy there, and I said, let me go and buy a bulb of a tulip, and I'll bring it home. So he said to me, where are you from? I said, no, I'm from South Africa. He chased me out of his shop. You are not buying a tulip from Netherlands. You got so many flowers in South Africa. Go home. And incredible. God, just in the wonder of it, and I'm getting back to the story, what's done in the Fern Cliff, is these everlasting flowers. They hardened, but you can put them as a flower arrangement and they last forever and ever and ever. And your fruit bearing can be everlasting. And God wants to produce that in and through you. So just in discourse to just expand of what this wonderful outworking of Christ in you, and we've even spoken about the agape, the love of God. Romans 5:5 says this: God's love has been poured out into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been. You cannot manufacture it. It's there. You have to release it. You've got to make a decision to release it. And Dave really encouraged us with that. And we went through that meeting to love one another. And you can exhibit the love of God. Yes, you got your human love that you can also exhibit. But I'm telling you, you can make a choice to release. When Jesus died on the cross, and we're going to be going over this Passover this next weekend, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That was the exhibit of the love of God. And you have that same love within you, not according to who you are, but according to him who is within you. And then John 17:3, that Jesus says, I put my joy within you. In peace, Philippians 4, verse 16, Paul brings out that we should be anxious about nothing, but in everything in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. Let me tell you, if I can maybe call it a fruit or a commodity, the world does not know the peace of God. When you watch the news, there's never a story about peace. It's always about turmoil. There's always something about crime. And people of the world are craving peace. They're craving peace. And you have that peace and you can impart it. And I want to encourage us. It's one of the greatest, I believe, the weapons of who we are in Christ is to walk in the peace of God and to impart peace to other. Patience. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14 to 15, Jesus talks about the riches of life and bearing, but we bear fruit with patience. Ish, I wish the Lord never said that. There's sometimes when you plant the seed, it's got to find root and it's got to grow, the stem's got to grow, the leaf's got to grow, and it takes time. And sometimes what God is birthing in you can be instantaneous, but sometimes it needs patience. Some of you might even be contending for healing, and you're not knowing why God is not healing, but maybe there's a patience. It's not that he hasn't heard you. I believe God is the healer. By his stripes you were healed. But sometimes there's a patience, and I'm not negating it according to God's will, but there's a patience when a farmer sows seeds with patience and to see it grow. Kindness. Colossians 3 talks about as chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. I want to just say kindness is a wonderful outworking of Christ in us. God is kind to you. You know that. He is kind. Can we be kind with one another, and can we show kindness to those who do not deserve it? Be kind to them. I know we get, when I read the news and I see what's happening, oh, I don't want to be kind. But we have to be kind. We have to come in an opposite spirit in this process. And not that it's an opposite spirit, it's God's spirit. It's Christ within us, and let that go through it. Goodness. God's nature is good. Exodus 33, and Moses was asking God to reveal his glory to him. And what did the Lord do? He says, you'll make my goodness pass. He didn't say even my glory, it's my goodness. God is good. God is good, and he can't help himself but be good. I laugh at times, and why did the Lord give me a surname called Goodfellow? I don't know, because many times I've got mocked, and the Afrikaners have called me Goeie Kerel and and all these things. But thank God, God is good. I'm not good. I'm good because of him. But actually, you've got to carry something when I carry that surname, and we as a family got to carry that, is because God is good, and that he's the only good one through us. Faithfulness. And God is also faithful, and we've got to be faithful in him. And that is a wonderful trait. You know, when the Lord comes and he gives us the acclamation, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And faithfulness is something that's rare today. People are not faithful in their things. They hop and skip. And a story about a lady, and I'm not trying to incriminate her in any way, but she was running from job to job, looking for money, more money, more money. And eventually she got to a place, she got into the wrong job and couldn't stand and had to leave and couldn't get a job and became destitute in that process. So remain faithful until God moves you on, and remain faithful to the family that he places you within. Remain faithful to your spouse and to your commitments. You know, very important. God is a faithful God. And I wanted to say, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is faithful, and he's committed to you individually. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Gentleness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, I myself entreat you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Philippians also talks about being gentle. And I want to encourage you, gentleness is a wonderful. When people are brash and are harsh, it's actually ugly. Really ugly. Do you know, one of the beauties of women is not the fashion. And it's not the jewelry, and it's not the hair. And I know we need to be, I want to encourage you ladies, make yourself feel good. But it's of a gentle and quiet spirit, it talks about. And that is a beauty. We were sitting in, I was in Burundi, and we were with Stanley and his family, and we were traveling to a city called Gitega, and his daughter was studying to be a nurse. And we went there, we went and visited her while we were ministering there. We went to go and visit her as she was at a nursing college. But the way she carried herself, the Lord just revealed to me such a gentle spirit and how beautiful and pleasing she was to him. And I want to just say the world is hard and fighting for position. And you know, and you ladies are under a lot of pressure because the world is telling you you need to be something that you're not meant to be. I'm not saying about equal opportunity or equal pay or anything like that, but be who God's created you to be. It's a wonderful, I've just seen women that carry this humility and this gentleness. It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And then practically, how do we, self-control. Oh, how it's missing in the world today. Proverbs 25 verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken in and left without walls. The world is said to go ahead and go and do what they like to do. You know, I'm just thinking loud now, what caused that girl to go and shoot those youngsters and teachers? Was it demonic? Obviously, must have been. But there's something of self-control that says, no, this is wrong. I don't do that. And that is so lacking in the world today, that you've given freedom and you've got a constitution, and we said, well, you've got the freedom of rights to go and do what you like. No, you don't. We have an ability within us to say no to ungodliness. And I want to just say is that every one of you will be tested in this area. Jesus was even tempted. He was tempted in every single way that we would be tempted, and even more, even profoundly, but he never fell into that. Why? He practiced this ability to have self-control, and that is so lacking. And I want to just say, call upon this self-control that's within you, that you can say no to ungodliness. So how do we get the outworking of this? So here in practically Galatians 5, again, it gets to verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's a very, very important statement that Paul makes there, because what is opposed to the fruit bearing is your flesh. And we read in Galatians all the outworking of the flesh. We have to crucify the flesh. Now, the flesh, as I said earlier, your spirit has been renewed. You're born again. You're a new person. Your soul also needs to be renewed. But in your body is this residue of an outworking of the ability to do what is death. And we've got to crucify it. And we've got, crucifixion means to put it to death. We've got to crucify it. And I think that is not a once-off. It's a reality. We've got to remind ourselves. I don't believe it's a continual thing, but we've got to put the flesh down. And as we put the flesh down, we've got to allow this life that's within us by the Holy Spirit to flow through us. And then we will begin to see more and more of this increase of the Spirit of God walking through us. And Paul says here that if we live or walk in the Spirit, in Galatians 5:16, it says, I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And here Paul gives us a secret that you walk in the Spirit. Now, again, because we are conditioned to perform, that we think we've got to do to be in the Spirit. And I want to say it's not a doing, it's a believing. To be in the Spirit, because you're in Christ, you believe you're in the Spirit. It's as simple as that. If you don't believe, you're not in the Spirit. But if you believe it, you're in the Spirit. It's that simple. Because that's the exercise of the spiritual realm. The realm of the Spirit is here. And when we believe it, we are walking it. So are we walking in the Spirit today? Absolutely. Are we seeing a feeling? Because no, it's not about feelings. It's not about our emotions. It's we believe. And we walking in the Spirit. But then Paul goes on to say that as we bear this fruit, we live in the Spirit and we keep in step with the Spirit. So we are called, there's a duality to our lives, is that you are in a body. You are living as a physical human being. You have to eat. You have to sleep. You've got to do the normal things. You've got to put clothes on and you've got to wash and all those things. But you are in the Spirit. And we have got to take hold of that aspect of this, what God has given us, to be a spiritual being first, and out of that to release this life of Christ in and through us. And I want to just say that's a secret, and we all work in that process out. God wants us to bring us to that fruitfulness of living in the Spirit, that we can bear fruit. In John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Then I've come to have they may have life and have it abundantly. And I wanted to suggest is part of this abundance of life is bearing fruit in every level. And I just know if you purpose in your life, in every situation that you find yourself, to allow Christ to exhibit himself in and through you, you're going to bear fruit and you're going to bring glory to the Father. Now, I want to read a portion of Scripture and I'm not going to expound upon it, but I want to let the Spirit actually speak to you as you hear Scripture. And I want to suggest to you is that you go home, that you go and study, because there's a secret in here that as you open up your lives, allow the Spirit of God to teach you, because who's the greatest teacher? God the Holy Spirit. As much as God uses us to teach and to bring life of understanding and to bring renewal of mind, the Holy Spirit, and I want to encourage you, is that you find pasture. We guide you to the paddock. We guide you to the pot, but you've got to eat. And you got to spend time in the Word, and you got to pray, and you got to work with the Lord and grow in the depths of understanding and knowing Christ. So Romans 8, and I want to read this incredible portion of Scripture from verse 1 to 17. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done with what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So your mind can be directed in two directions, on the flesh and in the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. It will produce death if you set it on the flesh. But to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, you see, that is very powerful. We cannot live according to the flesh. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, as I said to you. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you and is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. There are some profound secrets in that portion of Scripture. And I'm asking you, as you've heard this message today, go and read that again and let the Spirit of God teach you not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit, to be in Christ and bear fruit. And then take these skills that the Spirit of God, as he's leading you, to put death the misdeeds of the body and to be led by him and to bear fruit. I come again with this in conclusion, is that God wants us to bear much fruit and to bring glory to him. It's not something that you produce, it's something that you release. And as you work together in your relationship with God and you allow him to be first and foremost to live through you, you're going to bear much fruit. And God's going to be glorified. Our Father's going to be glorified in and through you. And out of that, there's going to be this abundance of life. Because as you sow in that, you're going to receive from that. And your life is going to be changed. You might think, well, my life is mundane. I'm not achieving much, and I don't have great purposes in God. I don't seem to be relevant in the kingdom of God. But I wanted to say to you, if you can bear much fruit wherever you think, in your area of influence, in your family, wherever you find yourself, you will be pleasing to the Father, and you'll bring glory to his name, and you will be fruitful. Because as you sow in that thing, you'll experience these things. As much as others will experience the fruit, you will experience that. And God wants you to experience that, because the world doesn't want you to experience the wonder of who Christ is. God wants you to. His love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his self-control, these are relevant in the outworking of your life, but to impact a dying world. We have a world to change. How are we going to change it? Through a testimony of Christ, this fruit bearing into the communities that we find ourselves in, the workplaces where you work, where the influence that you have, this is where you're going to change the world. And yes, we think, well, we're going to have to this mass crusade and people are going to come to Christ. Yes, God does work through those things. But the greatest impact is when you bear his fruit and they see him working in and through you, you will change the world. Now, where does the change come from? You. You need to make a decision. I'm going to bear fruit and I'm going to bring glory to our Father. Amen. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to hand over to Quentin. Father, as we have delved into something of the wonder of the kingdom of God, and you, Lord, as you dwell within us, this call to bear much fruit that will last. And I really do ask that, Lord, as we hear the profoundness of what you've declared through your word, that every one of us would be changed here today, Lord, and as we go into live our lives to bring glory to you, may we bear this wonderful fruit. And may we not walk in any condemnation because of sin in our past, but may we walk in the freedom and see this in opportunity, in every opportunity that comes through the trials and the temptations and the tests that come our way. And may every opportunity be used for you to bear fruit in and through us. So, Father, I just hand your church over to you as your people, as they follow you, those online too, Lord. We pray, Lord, that this fruit bearing would be a reality in every one of our lives. And may we bring glory to you, Father. May we increase and may we be more productive and more effective in this area. I know it sounds so simple. It is simple, Lord, because you do it in and through us as we submit to you. So will you take us forward into glorifying you, Father, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Quentin.